Let me begin by giving each and every one a very warm welcome in the Saviour's name along to our morning service coming to you from Six Mile Cross, a Free Presbyterian Church. I do want to thank you for joining with us, and I do pray that the Lord will richly bless you wherever you are as you listen to God's precious word today. I want to read with you once again the book of Jonah and the chapter number 1, and that's where I encourage you to turn to this morning. For our Bible reading, the book of Jonah and the chapter 1. If you've been joining with us, you'll know that we've been in this chapter for the last number of weeks. And we return to it again this morning. The book of Jonah and the chapter number 1. Beginning our reading at the verse number 1. And today we're going to take the time to read the whole chapter. The book of Jonah, the chapter 1, the verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. And so he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him, said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, and call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, Come, and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. And so they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us? What is thine occupation? And whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought, and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up, and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. And so they took up Jonah, and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Amen. And may God write his own blessing upon the reading of his precious and his infallible word. I've entitled the sermon this morning, Jonah the Rescued Prophet. Jonah the Rescued Prophet. But may we bow for prayer at this stage, please, as we seek the Lord's help for the preaching of his word. Father in heaven, we come before thee in and through the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We do rejoice in the first day of the week, the day that thou hast given to us for the public and the private worship of thy most glorious Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. We thank thee that it was on the first day of the week that he rose from the dead. We do rejoice that he has defeated death and hell forever. And he even now lives in that power of an endless life, seated at thy right hand, making intercession for us. We thank thee for our Saviour. We thank thee, O God, for every blessing that is found in Christ Jesus. We do rejoice that he is truly God and yet truly man. We thank thee, O God, this day that our Saviour, he intercedes for us, he prays for us, and he is touched even with the feeling of our infirmities. And O God, we confess our infirmities afresh to thee this morning. We confess our great need of help even as we come to preach thy precious word. We ask thee, O God, therefore, that thou wilt empty us of self and of sin, that thou wilt fill us with thy Spirit, and that thou wilt grant to each one that hears this message, that thou wilt grant to them the Spirit of God, even to work in each and every one of their hearts. See of the lost, we pray, restore the backslidden, even as we consider Jonah in the state that he was in. O God, we pray that thou wilt work in hearts that are cold, work in hearts that are running from thee, and O God, that they will be rescued even by the Spirit of God today. Come and bless us now, we pray. Encourage our hearts in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. We return once again to the book and to the life of Jonah. And I believe that this part out of all of the book and all of the life of Jonah, this is the most famous and the most well-known part of Jonah's life. That part whenever he is cast out of the ship in the middle of that storm, and that great fish or that great whale, depending on what way you want to say it or what way you want to look at it, that great animal was there ready to swallow him up. But as I said in my introductory remarks to the book of Jonah, as we came to it, there is so much more to Jonah than just the whale. There's so much more for us to learn and to apply to our individual lives, particularly in relation to who God is and to what he has done and what he continues to do for us. And as we come to the final part of this chapter, I want us to consider the rescue that God accomplished for Jonah. And I want to apply it to both the saved and the unsaved. There is a wonderful message in this chapter, and even in this part of our lessons together, there is a wonderful message in relation to the backslider, and how the Lord goes after the backslider, and how the Lord rescues the backslider. But there's also a wonderful picture of salvation. And over this week, and indeed next Sunday morning, I want to look at this in the two different aspects. This morning we're going to apply it really to the child of God and to the backslider. And next week we're going to come back and we're going to apply it to the unsaved. You know, it's a wonderful reality that time and again that we come to the scriptures, whether it be to the Old Testament or whether it be to the New Testament, there is always a word for both the saved and the unsaved. This is a book which is always giving and which always cares for every single spiritual need. For the child of God that's going on with the Lord, there's that encouragement to grow in grace in the things of the Lord. For the backslider, those that have grown cold at heart, there's that encouragement to come back, to draw nigh to the Lord again. And for the saved, there's a great encouragement, there's a great exhortation to turn from your sins and to put your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, from the beginning to the end of this book, there's always a path which leads to the cross. There's always a path which leads to the redemption that Christ purchased there by the shedding of his blood and by the salvation and even through his death and resurrection from the dead. Last week we looked at the second half of Jonah the running prophet. And when we left it last week, the Lord had sent that great storm into the midst of the sea. The Lord had raised up that great wind, which is described for us as being tempestuous. Now then, we come this week and we see that Jonah needed to be rescued. There are three reasons why Jonah needed to be rescued. There are three reasons which come out of this passage to us that show us that Jonah was not in a good place at all spiritually. And Jonah needed the intervention and he needed the rescuing of the Lord even to be given to him. Those three things I want you to see. Firstly, the verse number 3, I want you to see his walk. His walk. In the verse 3, it tells us Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish. From the presence of the Lord, he went down to Joppa. He found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof. He went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. You remember over the last couple of weeks, we have focused in on Jonah running from God. But in this particular point, I want us to focus on the problem in Jonah's life that showed us that he was running and showed us that he needed to be rescued. Jonah came down to Joppa. Jonah came to that boat, he paid his fare, and he went below deck without anyone knowing who he was. The way he conducted himself, the way he conversed with the captain, the way he conversed with the mariners, the way that he walked amongst them, as he made his way below decks, nothing stood out. Nothing stood out about Jonah, about his walk, about his discourse, about the way that he talked or the way that he acted. Nothing gave any clues to anyone that was there that he was a child of God. He was different. Those seamen, remember, were ungodly men. Men who would move from port to port, city to city. Men who worked hard. Men who partied hard. Men who were given over to heathen religions, even at those times, whenever, in the midst of that storm, they're crying unto every false god that they knew. And yet Jonah, when he came into that company, there was nothing about him that stood out from anyone else around him. Oh, what a change in Jonah. You know, there was a time in Jonah's life where whenever he were, that he went, people knew him as being the servant of the Lord. Every place that he went in Israel, that there was a time whenever he proclaimed God's word, and everyone took notice as he came into their company, as he made his way about, he proclaimed God's word. He was a servant of the Lord. He was living for the Lord, and he showed Christ in his life. There was a time when he was respected and taken note of for the Spirit of the Lord being upon him. Everywhere that he went, God's presence was felt even there with him. Now he had run from it. Now he just blended in with the crowd. Those fruits of the Spirit which are recorded for us in Galatians 5, the verses 22 and 23, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Could we say that any of those are left in Jonah? Could we say, as we have read through this passage, as we have looked over these weeks at Jonah and his life at that time, could we say that he had love in him? He certainly didn't have love for the Ninevites. Could we say that he had joy or peace in him? He was running from God. He was running from God's presence. He got on that boat. He got away from the people as quickly as possible. It tells us he went down below the decks. Didn't even want to be there. Didn't want to be talking too long to anyone around him. He just wanted to get away from everyone and hide himself away in the corners or in the sides of that ship. Out of mind, out of sight, hiding away from everything. Not one of those men in that boat could see anything of Christ in Jonah. Not one of those men in that boat were convicted of their living in the state of their hearts or minds by what they saw before them in Jonah. Oh, what a change. What a sad state his godly walk was. I wonder today, as you listen to this message, does your life, does your walk show forth to the world that you are different? Does the way that you interact with the world, the way that you conduct yourself in public, the way that you conduct yourself before your family, does it set you out that you are a chosen generation, that you are a royal priesthood, that you are a peculiar people, that you are set apart unto the Lord? You stand out like Paul and Silas when they were in Philippi. Acts 16 to verse 17, that woman, as she followed after Paul and Silas going down the street, she cried out and she said, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." Paul and Silas came to that city, and immediately people could see these men are different. These men are unique. These men show forth Christ. You stand out like the apostles in Acts 4 and 13. Those leaders, they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Is there anything in your walk today that shows that you have spent time with the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you showing forth the fruits of the Spirit? Are you showing forth the joy of the Lord, which is your strength? Are you showing forth the love of Christ in your life and in the way that you speak to others, in the way that you interact with others? Or do you need rescued like Jonah? The walk of Jonah. But then secondly, to verse 8, I want you to see another reason why he needed to be rescued. It was his witness. His witness. Verse 8 then said they unto him, "Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation? Whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou?" Well, what a difference. The man who was willing to speak up in 2 Kings 14 and 25, the man who was willing to proclaim the gospel, was willing to proclaim the message of the Lord, the man who was so willing to stand up before his own people and to proclaim the counsel of God to those people, and yet now the man who the public expected to speak up was now silent, was now missing. In fact, his witnessing had changed so drastically that it's the heathen who take the lead. It's the captain who has to come and wake him into verse 6. He's sleeping through the storm. It's the crew then who beg him into verse 8 to speak up. "Tell us, we pray thee." Jonah literally, whenever he woke up, the shipmaster woke him into verse 6. And Jonah there comes up upon the deck and he's with the mariners, he's with those people. And they have to cast lots to find out which one to turn to. They have to cast forth those lots. And the lot fell upon Jonah. And then Jonah still stands quiet. Even when the lot is cast, even when that pointer is heading in his direction, and every eye is upon him, every mouth is silent, everyone is waiting to hear Jonah speak, yet he stands before them silent. The crew had to beg him, "Tell us, we pray thee." In other words, "Jonah, please speak. Jonah, please open your mouth. Jonah, there's a storm that could kill us all. We're heading to our watery graves right now. Jonah, please open your mouth. Say something." Remember, Jonah is a Christian. Christians are supposed to be lights in the darkened world. Jonah had the message of the gospel. Jonah's one who knows the Lord personally. He knew the Lord and he knew the way for others to know the Lord. He had the gospel message to share. Matthew 5 and the verses 14 to 16, it says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. They give it light unto all that are in the house." In verse 16 it says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And yet for Jonah, he had taken his candle, his spiritual light. He had hid it so far underneath the bushel. You see, he didn't want anyone else to see it. And he had hid it so far because he didn't even want to be reminded of it himself. Jonah had no desire to witness. He had no desire to witness to the Ninevites. God had given him that commission. Go to Nineveh and preach to those people. And he said, no, I'm going to run. And even now in the midst of the storm, the fear, the panic that is upon those seasoned mariners, they believe we are in so much trouble. We are heading to our deaths. And yet Jonah comes up. He's woken out of his sleep and he's there. And yet he still never says a word. He could have got up. He could have confessed his sin to the Lord. Could have repented of his running. Then he could have went round that crew seeking to calm them, to point them to Christ. In the midst of all of that fear and panic, in the midst of that great storm, he could have presented to them the Prince of Peace. He could have presented to them the one, the only one who could take away their fear of death and give them that peace that passeth all understanding. And yet Jonah is silent. Men in spiritual darkness, no sense of spiritual direction, and yet where was the witness of Jonah? Where was Jonah simply to go, look, man, don't worry about the storm. Rather, turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. But by the grace of God, those mariners start to ask questions. In the verse 8, those questions are very, very pointed. Those are questions that forced Jonah to speak up. And that forced Jonah to say the words that needed to be said. They could have asked a very general question. They could have asked a very blunt or a very passable question that could have been fended off so easily. But every question that they asked, they said, tell us whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation? Whence comest thou? What is thy country? Of what people art thou? They are getting to the very nitty-gritty, as it were, of the whole problem and of the whole thing that is going on at that time. And they're making it so that Jonah must speak. Now, what an awful testimony that would have been if Jonah had not spoken up. What an awful testimony for a child of God if he had wasted that opportunity and never spoke up and they all perished at sea. Can you imagine if Jonah simply had just stood there? That storm continued, everything's already been cast off the ship. The next thing that's going to happen, the ship's going to break up. Can you imagine if Jonah had continued to remain silent? They asked the question. Jonah gave the answer, the verse 9. He said unto them, I am in Hebrew, I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Eventually he spoke up. But do you notice his witnessing only went so far? His answer only went so far because they had to ask then in verse 11, what do we do? You see, he never told them the whole story. Oh yes, he showed them, he explained to them, I serve God. I serve the Lord, the God of heaven, the creator of heaven and of earth. That's the one I serve. In other words, he sets forth, I am serving a God that is righteous and just. I am serving a God that will punish sin. And the storm showing the wrath of God. The storm is showing forth to the people that God will punish sin. That Jonah was not going to get away with what he had done. But he never told them the full story. The men and women to present to the world that they are sinners and under the wrath and the curse of God, and to leave it there. You're failing them. If all you tell is, and people in the world is, that they're sinners and they're heading to hell, and God is angry against them, and God's wrath is upon them because of their sin, and if that's all you say to people, you're failing them. And on the other hand, if all you do is present that God is love, and if all that you say to people is, God is love, God is merciful, you're also failing them. You have to tell them both sides. You have to tell them both aspects of the gospel. The gospel must show people the fact that they are sinners in need of salvation, that they're born in sin, that they're shaped in iniquity, and God's wrath and God's curse is upon them because of their sin. But then you must go on to tell men and women, and let me encourage and say this to everyone that is listening. Yes, you're born in sin. Yes, you're shaped in iniquity, but that's not where it ends. Rather, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He died upon the cross. He shed his precious blood. And through his death and his resurrection from the dead, you can be saved from your sins. And you can have peace with God. Oh, what a poor witness Jonah was. Began by failing to speak. He failed to speak, and then he failed to speak well. He needed to be rescued. Child of God, let me encourage you, speak up for Jesus. Don't hide your light under a bushel. Rather put it on a candlestick. The gospel may shine brightly in a darkened world. Speak well. Witness well. Present Christ and the gospel in all of its fullness. Jonah needed rescued for his walk. Jonah needed rescued for his witness. But then thirdly and finally, I want you to see Jonah needed rescued for his will. His will. The verse 12. He said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea become unto you. Do not make the mistake of calling Jonah a martyr or a hero. You know, some might look at this and some might say, oh, what a selfless man. He was so kind and thoughtful. He was willing to die for others to live. He's willing to sacrifice himself to save others. But my friend, let me say this. Jonah is not a martyr here. Jonah's not a hero. Moses was a hero and willing to be a martyr to follow and to obey the will of God. Exodus 32, the verses 30 to 35. He was willing to give himself for the people. Esther was a hero and willing to die for her people in obedience to the will of God. Esther 4 and verses 13 to 17. She says in verse 16, if I perish, I perish. I'm going to go in before the king and I'm going to fight and I'm going to speak up for my people. If I die, I die. She was a martyr. She was willing to be a martyr. She was willing to be a hero. The Apostle Paul was willing to be a martyr for the cause of Christ. Romans 9, verse 3, he said, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, for my kinsmen. In other words, I am willing to die that they might live. That's one that you can describe as willing to be a martyr. These men, they asked Jonah, what shall we do unto thee? Yet Jonah's answer, verse 12, it shows forth a will that needed to be rescued. In the midst of all of that danger, in the midst of that storm that was there because of Jonah's rebellion, yet he would still not turn to the Lord. He would still not humble himself and accept God's will and accept God's word for his life. Why did Jonah not say, men, get me back to Joppa? Why did he not say to those men whenever they said, what shall we do that the sea may be calm? Jonah should have said, men, get me back to Joppa. I need to go to Nineveh for the Lord. I have been given a job. I have been given a role to play. I have been given a command of the Lord to go to Nineveh. Men, turn the boat and get me back. Why did he not cry to the Lord and seek forgiveness? Why did he not get down on his knees and beg the Lord for mercy, repent of his sins? No, he said, I want to die. And I would rather die than obey God's word and accept God's will. Jonah needed rescue. Just as Elijah needed rescued when he ran in fear and wanted to die in 1 Kings 19. God had to go after him and bring him back. God had prepared a fish for Jonah. You see, in order for Jonah to be rescued, God had to get him apart on his own. God had to get Jonah alone away from everything in order to deal with him. He prepared a fish to take him away into isolation. Jonah believed, and those men believed, we're casting this man overboard, and this man is going to drown. This man is going to die in that sea. He's going to drown and go down to that watery grave, and he's never to be seen again. He's never going to be known or anything about him. He's gone. And that's what Jonah wanted. Jonah wanted, I want my life to end. I want to have nothing more to do. I want it all to come to an end right now. Throw me in. But yet whenever they threw him overboard, God had prepared a fish. That fish immediately swallowed him up and took him away from everything. Had to be taken away from the world to bring him back to where he ought to be. You know, maybe I'm speaking to one today who's saved. Yet in their lives they're running from God's word. They're running from God's will. And even in the midst of this pandemic, this virus, God has allowed you to be shut away at this time. To be isolated from friends. To be isolated from other influences in your life. To get you alone with Him. To turn you. To humble you and to bring you back to Himself. Remember, God's married to the backslider. Arminian theology will teach you that a Christian can lose their salvation. I don't believe that. A Christian can lose their salvation. I believe then Jonah would have just drowned in that sea and we would never have heard about him. I believe God would never have even sent a storm in the first place. If a Christian could lose their salvation, God just would have washed his hands off Jonah and said, fine, you go to Tarshish. you're lost. But God is married to the backslider. God sent that storm to stop Jonah from getting to Tarshish. And then he sent the fish to get Jonah away from everything. John 10 and the verse 28, it says, I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish. Yes, there are many lessons for the child of God to learn. And even those times when we grow cold and we seek to get away from the Lord has to teach us, the Lord has to chasten us. But the Lord is merciful, gracious to his people. He brings those things in our lives even to get us away from others. Changes our circumstances to get us alone with him. To rescue us. See, Jonah wasn't going to perish. God rescued him. God was going to break him. God was going to humble him. And then God was going to use him. Backslider, if you're listening to this message today, let me encourage you, look at God's grace and God's mercy in your life. Come back to him today. Stop running from him. Stop ignoring him. Rather come. Confess your sin. He's faithful, he's just to forgive you of your sin. To cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He's willing to bring you back. Yeah, even to use you for his service. Thank God for the mercy that rescued Jonah. That mercy is still there today. Let's have a word of prayer as we close. Father in heaven, we bow before thee. We thank thee for the grace, the mercy, the long suffering of Christ. We thank thee, O God, even for what we can see in the life of Jonah, even though he was rebellious, even though, O God, he sought to get away from everything. He sought to reject thee, reject thy will, reject thy word. Yet thou didst send that storm. Thou didst send the fish. O Father, we thank thee that thou dost deal with thy children. Do rejoice that thou wilt never have them plucked from thy hand. Lord, we pray even now that thou wilt apply thy word to each and to every heart. Thou wilt encourage thy people, that thou wilt speak to the backsliders. Those that are cold at heart, that thou wilt draw them back to thyself. Pray even for the unsaved, if they've been listening in as well, that, oh God, that they will be spoken to. And they will see that there is a God who is merciful and loving and willing to forgive them of their sins and to save them forever. Bless each one, we pray thee. Glorify thy Son. In Jesus' name. Amen.